ready to go. I want to go over just some, the truth is some very basic halachas. But basic halachas, we also have to go over. And it's an amazing thing. If I'm going to go over basic halachas, I discover new things in them that I never saw before. New dimensions. First, let us come to the halacha. I want to talk about the just one posh of the din and the tilas yadayim. Go around a little bit some common things concerning the meal and other brachas around it. The shaila is, what is the shear that one has to wash the tilas yadayim for? And it's not so clear. Why is it not so clear? Because the tilas yadayim is a gzera midrabanan. What was the reason for it? Because under certain situations, if we'll handle truma without having washed our hands, then we will render the truma unusable, inedible. So therefore, we should be used to handling truma because of srach truma, because of that. We should have a proper habit when it comes to handling truma. So Chazal imposed upon us a din of the tilas yadayim. We should always wash our hands. Now, if we're dealing with the situation, is the concern is that we'll come to him cause truma to become inedible, it will become tummy. That halacha is in oichlin foods. What's the minimum share that could be makabel truma? Is a kabeya. That's the minimum share. So if we approached it from the standpoint of hilchos tuma, the tyre, then we ought to say, well, listen, I can't get into trouble with less than a kabeya of tuma, because it's not makabel tuma. So when does trouble begin? Trouble begins when I have a kabeya. So if trouble begins when I have a kabeya, and the whole point is just to keep me from making truma unfit, then I ought to start with the kabeya. If I have less than a kabeya, I shouldn't have to wash. Now the argument for that is a rather strong argument. But it's not the only argument. There's another way to look at it. And that is that since we're dealing with food, and especially and when it comes to food, what has chashivas? In terms of a meal, eating, brachas, what has chashivas? It's b'chayev brach achroim, it's b'chayev b'chas hamozen, is a kezayis. If I eat a kezayis, I'm b'chayev b'chas hamozen, I'm b'chayev brach achroim. If that's the case, then in food items, there's a certain standpoint that kezayis is choshev. So maybe since this is a hachona really for a suda, because we're saying the principal truma was bread, so it's a hachona for a suda, and a suda, a kezayis, has significance, that perhaps I have to wash for a kezayis. Now, there's yet a third text, which really has to do with tunas chois in the Sefer HaRokeach, that there's a third statement that even on less than a kezayis, one is supposed to wash. I presume the chesed for that is that once they made a gzera, it's a sweeping gzera. It has no exceptions to it. They don't start kvetching. I eat a half a kezayis, I'll eat another part. Eat, you know, you're very likely you're going to end up eating a kabeya. They made a halacha on the tilas yadayim. So, on such a simple halacha, we have three views. Now, what do we do the ma'isa? How do we? So all three play a role in the ma'isa. The Shulchan Aruch paskens and Sima Kuf Nun Ches that in terms of the recitation of the bracha on the tilas yadayim is not recited unless I'm going to eat a kabeya, two kezayim of bread. That's the Shulchan Aruch sachro. Now according to the Shulchan Aruch, if I have less than a beya, I'm also supposed to wash, but without a bracha. And there's even a view that will machmer light to wash even for less than a kezayis. But there's a difference between the latter two views. Even though in the latter two views, according to the Shulchan Aruch, we don't recite a bracha. But there's still a difference between them. Why is that? The Vilna Gaon paskened, not like the Shulchan Aruch. The Vilna Gaon paskened that if one eats a kezayis of bread, one has to recite the bracha of Anitul Sidayim for that washing. Anything more than a kezayis. And increasingly, in our world, the view of the Vilna Gaon has become significant. You know, eating habits have changed. In European society, pre-war European society, bread was the main food in many places in Eastern Europe. And a little bit of protein, a little bit of vegetables, but bread was the staple. In our society, Baruch Hashem, we're a wealthier society. So it's sort of reminiscent, I believe, the statement of Rav Chisda, the Gemara on Shabbos. The Goyin says it has a deeper meaning to it, but we'll take it kepashtusa, it also has meaning. Rav Chisda said, I've lived in poverty, and I've lived, you know, with a decent living in my life. He said, but I never ate vegetables. Why, he said? When I was poor, it wasn't a good idea to eat greens because they whet your appetite and I had nothing to eat. So it wasn't a good idea to whet my appetite. He says, when I finally did have money, he says, it wasn't a good idea to eat the greens, he says, because if I could eat meat, why should I eat greens in their stead? Okay? And the Goyin says it has a much deeper meaning in terms of how a person should learn, but that's not our Isaac for now. It's not only... It was a moshel which has a certain meaning in a folk sense, but according to the Grod, it's a deeper meaning in terms of how one's priorities in learning, but that's not for now. So, in our society, that's sort of where it's at. You know, bread, who wants to eat bread? You know, it's a little bit of bread, but it's, you know, they have to eat bread. It's Shabbos, what can we do? We can't be yoytze to see the Kurdish. Rob, are you really sure with an extra slice of steak? I can't be yoytze. I need a piece of challah. Come on, you must be joking. You know. But the halacha insists that we have lechem. But lechem plays a lesser role. And in the strange manner of American diets, somehow bread became was the main thing to ban. It's going to make us all obese. It's probably one of the lesser crimes of the things that we eat in this society. But Avo Peking. So many people eat very, very little challah. Now, Shabbos, one should really strive to eat 2 kezesim and a little bit more. That's the lechat chila for Suda Shabbos. And on Shabbos particularly, we should go out of our way to do that, even if we normally go very, very light on bread during the week. So the other shayla arose that many people rarely eat a kabeya of bread. So, you know, they barely get to a kezayis. So should they never walk, make the bro recite the brocha of Anitul Sidayim? So Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal, wrote, and it's interesting, others in Eretz Yisrael also took this up on their own, that if a person habitually eats less than a kabeya of bread, then he should refollow the sheet of the Gron, recite down until the Siddayim on even a kezayis. So that's what I said, that this second view, despite the fact that according to the Shulchan Aruch, if it's less than a bay or less than a kezayis, they're the same, but then the halacha lemaisa said they're not the same. Because the Goyin divides those two. According to the Goyin, on a kezayis one makes a brocha, and on less than a kezayis one certainly does not make a brocha. So this shita has become, in fact, much more significant. And, you know, I got involved in this shayla because principals in schools have the same issue. They want to be mechanach the children for Netilas Yedayim and for Birchas HaMazon, but to get them to eat 2 kezesim of bread for many of them is not going to happen. So I had a look for them for the most the most minimal share, so that they could impose upon them to wash and to eat that, and that they should be able to recite the Birchas HaMozon and wash it on the Tilas Yadai. So this, in the contemporary era, the sheet of the Gros come to play more of a role.
Taking a rye bread, let's say, from a bakery, is a slice of rye bread a beitza?
Probably, I would think somewhere between a slice and a slice and a half is a kibetza. Some want to say that a slice is even a kibetza, could be. Like, you know, we're talking a slice from the center of the bread.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, some want to tie it that even one slice is.
It's pretty big.
Yeah.
What about standard challah roll?
What?
What about standard challah roll?
A standard challah roll, lid IT, has at least four kazeis in it. You know, the ones we have here for Shalosh Shudas have at least four kazeis.
It's full of air.
What?
It's full of air.
The Chavetz Chaim, the Chavetz Chaim says that we have something, you judge the volume according to the way it is, he says, even if it's as soft as a sponge. Okay. There's machloikas about that. It happens to be the revelations that Saul did not agree with the Chavetz Chaim at this point. But this is the Chavetz Chaim.
Well, actually, a half a challah roll is...
Yes. So, now, let's go forward a step and backwards a step. Because I want to come back to the Tilas Yadayim in a moment, but we first have to go forward one step. And that is, now when it comes to a Brocha Rishayna has no share. A Brocha Rishayna on the least amount that I eat, the Gemara says that a person may not be dead about Ilavasebli Brocha. And one is over gezel, in effect. I'm embezzling from the Rabbeinu Shalom. Now, the Rabbeinu Shalom set down certain conditions on which I could make withdrawals. And if I don't live up to the conditions, that's it, it's embezzling. I'm an embezzler. So the condition is that I have to make a Brocha, to recognize that it comes from the Rabbeinu Shalom. So that whatever little bit I ingest, there's a certain pleasure in that. Brocha Achrayna comes from a certain level of satisfaction. Now, what that generates is that to recite a Brocha Achrayna, I have to have at least a kezias. Unless there's a kezias, I can't recite a Brocha Achrayna. Now, it doesn't only stop with the fact that I have to have a kezias, but I have to factor something else into it, which is I have to have a kezias in what's called b'chdei achilas pras. You know, if I eat a meal for an hour and a half on Shabbos and I take my alua, you know, and every 15 minutes I take, you know, a half a bite, you know, so that every half an hour I manage to finish off a kezias, it's not going to help me too much. Because the halacha is that one has to eat it in a time of what's called Kedei Achilas Pras. Now, we need to understand what it means, Kedei Achilas Pras. Kedei Achilas, there's two views of it, and we'll discuss both of them and the Halacha L'maisa. There's a view that learns that Kedei Achilas Pras means that I may not make an interruption in between part one and part two of the eating greater than the time that's of Achilas Pras. So it's not that I have to ingest, not only ingest, swallow the entire kizayis within Kedei Achilas Pras. No, I can take more than Achilas Pras. But from one part to the next, I cannot take a break of more than Kedei Achilas Pras. So as long as I started eating again within Kedei Achilas Pras, even if I didn't finish until after Kedei Achilas Pras, that doesn't make a difference, as long as the hefsek wasn't longer than Kedei Achilas Pras. Some hold that way. But Halacha L'maaseh, we don't hold that way. Halacha L'maaseh, we take a more stringent view, and that is from the beginning of the eating, at the outset, from the get-go, until I complete the kezias, all of that has to take place in the shir of Kedei Achilas Pras. Even if I would chew continuously, but I didn't swallow a kezias unless Kedei Achilas Pras, won't help me. I have to finish the whole kezias in Kedei Achilas Pras, which is perhaps the reason that on Shabbos that many are knowing that as soon as they make a moitzi, they eat a decent piece of challah for that reason. And that's really, that's one dimension, is to make sure that you have a kezayis b'chdechilas pras. There's a second dimension to it, which once happened to me. I was once eating challah shudas in a shul. And I had washed, but I was not overly angry. It was probably the winter time, and I really didn't have much appetite to eat. And, you know, the challah shudas finished. They were about to bench. Everything was all over already. I decided, you know, I'm going to bench. And all of a sudden, I looked down, and I realized that I'd taken a little taste of the challah. And that's it. I didn't eat any more challah than just a taste. I had nowhere near a kezayis. I didn't have a kezayis. So now, I didn't succeed with the washing that I had. And now I have a shayla how I'm going to bench also. Which leads to a very strange halacha in that case. So the halacha is that let's say I washed, and I ate less than a kezayis, and I ate a piece of fish. So at the end of the meal, I have to make a bracha on the foshes, on the fish. Because I can't make a bracha on the challah, I didn't have a share. It's a very strange happening.
You could have eaten the challah then.
I had Hesach Hadass already. I decided to stop eating, and it was already Mamela, they didn't have Dola cake. I couldn't go back at that point. The door was closed. So that's probably a second reason, besides the din that we eat kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, is to make sure altogether that we eat a kezayis. Forget about b'chdei achilas pras. So I have to eat it b'chdei achilas pras. Now, what is kezayis achilas pras? So like everything in Jewish life, it's subject to varied interpretations. But people have to realize is all the interpretations have a certain fidelity to the halacha. They all have to fit into the sources and come from the sources. You know, the unlearned would have us believe that, you know, interpretations are endless. No, they're not endless. You know, they have finite limits to them. Oh. So what is kedei achilas pras? First, there's a question, does it mean the time it takes to eat 3 eggs or 4 eggs? That's the first question. It's a shayla and rishayim. The second question, so it means either we'll be dealing with 6 kezayisim or 8 kezayisim. No. Second issue, because a kezayis is half of a, right, a bale. So we're dealing with either 6 or 8 kezayisim. Now, we have another shayla. What do we mean when we say to eat 3 to 4 eggs? Are we talking about how do we do it in Coney Island for an egg eating contest? Or are they talking to eat 4 eggs in some civilized fashion? That seems to me as the parameters of the Chassam Sofer. In other words, the Chassam Sofer says it could vary between 2 and 9, could be as small a period of time as 2 minutes and as much as 9 minutes. So I believe the 2 minutes means you're popping them down one after the other. 9 minutes, you're eating a little bit, you know, in a relaxed fashion. You know, not relaxed, relaxed, but you're going, you're eating, you know. You're moving along, but you're not, you know, in a contest. So he says the parameters of kedei achilas pras are between 2 and 9 minutes. Ramesh Zatzal was inclined that 5 minutes, one should use bein l'kud or bein l'chumra. It's a good, you know, smack and really in the middle as what's appropriate for kedei achilas pras. One should use 5 minutes. So we try to use 5 minutes. Now, let's go back a step. So we're talking about for birchas hamazon, I have to have a kezayis for kedei achilas pras. Then we said for suda Shabbos, I have to have a kebay a little bit more than a bayah. For the Tila Sedayim, I also need a Beya. So what are the time frames for that? So one does not have to be makbid to have the entire Beya in a share of Kedei Achilas Pras. In other words, as long as I had a Kezayis B'Kedei Achilas Pras, even if the rest of the Beya was more stretched out, that also would not be a problem. Ramosha did not insist that as long as one Kezayis was B'Kedei Achilas Pras, the cheshbon, I presume, is especially in terms for the Netilas Yedayim, that you're involved with eating more than eating a kebaya. So what's the difference, you know, when you eat the beya? Kazayas will pay less price, you need to be able to bench. True. But as long as you're eating a beya, you should have to make a bracha. And I believe that for Sudas Yontif and Sudas Shabbos, the same is true, that you don't have to have the whole beya in one shot, in one kedeh achilas pras. So they are differentiated, the brichas hamozim, which necessitate kedeh achilas pras, and the tilas yadayim, and certainly for the beya, really doesn't necessitate kedeh achilas pras. We need to worry about kedeh achilas pras, so that we're able to bench. Now this is equally true for every brocha achroina that we make. Let's talk right now about food. Drinks will come to soon. When it comes to foods, so the halacha is that I have to have a kezayis and I have to have a b'chdei achilas pras. Now this is a general description of eating according to the Torah. In every process that takes place, one needs to be able to define what makes it continuous and what makes it separate, disparate points. You can have this in many, many disciplines in the halacha, the same issue. You can have in hilchos mechitzis, you have the same issue. The issue with the conceptually is the same. At what point are things considered part of the pattern, and at what point are they just isolated points along the way? I'm eating, so what defines that all these little acts of eating, I eat, I stop, I eat, I stop. What defines all of this is one? What defines it as well? It's no different than what are we going to say? A guy ate a kezayis on June 7th, the year 2000. I mean, a half a kezayis. Now we ate another half a kezayis on June 7th, 2010. So we're going to give him malchus. He ate a kezayis of trick. And a kezayis treif, that's the eight to share, that's it, we're going to give him malchus. So we don't do that. Why? Because to violate the Easter, those two chatzi kezayisim have to be associated with each other. So we're saying if it took place in the year June 7, 2000 and June 7, 2010, those are two separate eatings. They don't have anything to do with each other. So what makes them into one eating? What makes it into one eating is the chedei achilas pras. So this is true in all regards. It's true for the recitation of Birchas Hamazon. It's true for a mitzvah. We have it by matzah on Pesach. It's true on the night of Sukkot that we have to eat a kezayis challah in the Sukkot. It's to be b'chdei achilas pras. On the other side of the coin, it's also true of Isur. If one eats an Isur to receive malchus, to fully violate the Isur deraisa in the fullest sense, one has to eat it b'chdei achilas pras. If he didn't, it's a lesser violation. So kedei achilas pras is what defines the unity of the eating process. Now all fine and dandy shas are pretty well articulated. They didn't for us when it came to eating. When it comes to drinking, shas does not. We're in a much more gray situation, as I mentioned last week. But the share for drinking is, it's not clearly defined in shas, and we have three different views. And the Shulchan Aruch actually includes two of them, halacha l'maisa. Well, some say a third of a revius, some say rover of a revius, and some say a whole revius. And the Shulchan Aruch basically says he's really not sure what the din is between whether it's a third of a revius or a whole revius. So anyways, in between there's a suffix. That's issue number one. But it gets murkier. So the question is, how do we gauge the unity of a drink? Is that also follow the rule of kedei achilas pras? Or does it follow the rule, a new rule? The drinks go with kedei shtiyas revius. How long it takes to drink a revius? Different halacha. So which one is it? Well, if you look in the Gemara in Krisus, and the Gemara in Krisus states that it's kedei achilas pras. So that should have, and that's Rashi and Tosfos who say that's good enough for them. No paskin that way. Along came the Rambam, and the Rambam said, it's not good enough for me. In the Tesefta we find it's Kadesh Tiyas Ravis. So the Rambam Paskin, as the Rambam, the Tesefta is usually allied, similar to Shita Yerushalmi. And we know the Rambam often Paskin is like Yerushalmi against the Babli, many, many halachas. For whatever reason, the Rambam was unique in that regard. So the Rambam Paskin is that you need Kadesh Tiyas Ravis. And the Mechaber, in one place, was Choshesh, he was concerned about the Rambam sheet. He was, so now I drink. You have to drink this whole all down in one shot, 3 ounces down in one shot, basically, one shot. We'll see, it's not exactly one shot, in a few seconds. Or it's enough if I have an Kedechilas Pras. Now that's a very, very big fundamental machlekes. Yeah. What's the difference in time? Well, in Kedechilas Pras, we said it could be anywhere up to 9 minutes. In Kedeshtias Ravi is seconds.
Well,
it's a matter of seconds, it's a few seconds.
You could have a hot liquid, you could have a strong
liquid. We'll get to that. The confusion's going to get worse before we get better. Now, if we dealt with only cold drinks, okay, in a cold drink, so I drink 3 ounces in one shot, you know, it's livable. But if we drink coffee or tea, and you like it hot, so you can't just take it and smack it down.
Whiskey.
You know, most people can't throw whiskey. So... How do you count then? Do we count Kadesh Tias Revias according to the conventional cold drink? That's Kadesh Tias Revias. Or do we count Kadesh Tias Revias? Well, this is a different Metzias. Has to be evaluated in terms of each thing. So here we have, so in the Halacha Lemaisa, we have three views. We have the view of Rashi and Tosfos that say we should follow Kadesh Achilas Pras. So long as I get down the shear and up to 9 minutes, I can make a brocha. We have the view of the Mechaber, like the Rambam, that says Kadesh Tias Revias. And then we have within that another machlekes, the Rekeves HaMishnah, and others say that in a hot drink, we reset the clock. We have to reevaluate in terms of, well, how long does it take a person, the average person, to drink a Revias of hot coffee? You don't gauge that, but how you drink a glass of seltzer. Two different experiences. So, how to calculate in a hot drink the brocha achrona is problematic. So the Chofetz Chaim Zatzal Kedarko Bakodesh. Chofetz Chaim was a wise man. So the Chofetz Chaim suggested Eitza to succeed Likulei Alma. And what does he suggest? What he suggests is, at the end of a coffee, that you leave over the last revias until it's a little cooler, that you could smack it down in one shot. Now, if you're so inclined, it's a good eitzah, but many people don't like it because they don't want to finish off the coffee with something that's cool. The whole point in having the coffee is they want the experience of what's hot during the day, not what's cool. So for many people, the dafka doesn't work. Because they don't want to end off drinking the coffee when it's cool. They want to end off dafka when it's hot. So now we're back in the bond. So how do we make a brocha achrona? What should we do? Now the truth of the matter is that in varied communities throughout the world, they were noyig differently. You could have found communities, achronim, that are made in that community, that did this way, and achronim that are made in that community, that served was otherwise. So I had occasion about, I think, 40 years back approximately, something like that, or less than that, to consider the dais that there are. And I discovered that there were a huge amount of dais, and achronim that held that Kadesh Tias Revias is enough, is the share. And I believe among them the Gra and others. So, I'm sorry. Let me go back a step. I said I misstated. The Gra hold it that for the Achilas Pras, you don't need Kadesh Tias Revias. A huge amount of Achronim that hold Kadesh Achilas Pras is sufficient to make a Brocha Achronim. So, since that time, I'm personally knowing that as long as I drink within Kadesh Achilas Pras, I have no other choice. I make the brocha achrona on that any year. I say I can't be yaitzeh holidays. What could I do?
Can we use the 9 minutes or Reb Moshe's 5 minutes?
You could use the nine. Can use the nine, yeah.
Or cold drink. Even for cold.
Even for a cold, but a cold it's easy to be machmer, you know, but as I say, but it's a chumrah. But at least it's easy to be yotzei choladei, so drink one time, three ounces in a few seconds, that's not too hot. But on a hot drink is a problem. I usually, you know, for voice reasons, I have a hot tea on the table in my shir. So it depends. If I'm very busy in the shir, usually by the time I get to drink from it, it's pretty cool, you know. But that depends, you know. Some days I need to drink earlier from it, it's still hot. But many days it's already cooled off by the end. But, so this is one of the big controversies in the halachas of bracha chayinah. Now, I want to consider something else. So we've talked about the fact of what shear I have to make the alnati lesidayim on, what shear I make a bracha rishayin on, what shear I need for bracha chayinah. That it has to be ibichtei achilas pras. And for drinks, we said we have a plethora of days. Now, part of the issues that we have to be sensitive to in brochas is the realization of what's the rice and what's the rabbanon. So it can make a lot of big differences in sveikas, what we have to do, and what we have to avoid. Now, Birchas HaMazon itself, when it's the Rais and when it's the Rabbanon, is a huge tumult in the Rishonim. We have on one hand a Gemara that says that you have to eat Kidei Svir. And if you haven't eaten a full meal, you're not really full. So then there's no Birchas HaMazon in the Rais. But Savota is part of the din. On the other hand, there's a Gemara which says that Meir Rabbi Yehuda Omar Mechayi Vat Kebei Vat Kezayis. So, some would say that is only the Rabbanah. And that's how you reconcile it. With the Rabbanah, that's even as little as a Kezayis. And with the Raisi, you need Kedei Svi. However, there are many Rishonim that do not learn that way. There are many Rishonim that learn that the Shir Kezayis is a Raisi de Kashir. And in our Torah, it's necessary to recite Birchas HaMazon even on a Kezayis. So that's already b'machleik ishnu. That did. So that's, now, it makes very significant differences. Suppose, for example, I didn't bench right away. It's an hour. I just don't remember if I benched them. Don't remember. What do I do now? So it depends. Right? If it's deraisa, you know, yeah, something deraisa, you'd have to bench again. If it's derabbanan, then something derabbanan the kula, you don't bench again. So it's already a significant difference. Now, it's not only in this regard that this question, but in an issue which we're not normally so sensitive to, there's also Amachleikis. And that is in the din of Alamichya of Me'ein Shalosh, the Arishainim that hold it, that's a deraisa dika bracha. In other words, the bracha achreina that I recite on Kate is also Minatar. Not only the big benching is Minatar, but the little benching, the Alamichya, is also Minatar, according to them. Which tells us that we should be very careful about two things. Number one, we should be careful about the issue of a shear, to make sure that we don't wind up with a suffix shear. You know, because then I'm going to wind up, if I don't know if I had a shear or not, then it's a shayla, maybe I'm a chuyiv min haTorah, we're going to have all types of problems. So I should make sure that I have a vada shear. And the other issue is something else. We could look at it from two different types of standpoints. When we are obligated to make a brocha achrayna, whatever type it is, and especially under circumstances where life is hectic, you know. On Shabbos afternoon, when you're sitting at the table, you want to schmooze a while before you bench, you're not going to forget the bench. You know, there are too many people there. When you bench, you're going to know you benched. When you're sitting at your desk in the office, and you barely almost taste the food, you know, between all the things, the BlackBerry going off, and the telephone, and the fax coming, you know. And then you finally finish eating, and the deluge pours back upon you, and 2 hours later, you have no idea what you did. You have proof that you ate, because there's something empty on the desk, but that's about it. But there's not much else that's remembered. So one should really go about making a debruch achrayin as soon as one finishes eating. That's the only way that one's going to arrive in a situation knowing if one made the debruch achrayin or not. Otherwise, many a day, you're just not going to know whether you're coming or going. That's the nature of the world we live in. There was a report today that multitask is basically is putting the brain into short circuit. It's a report today. And today, that the brain can only deal with a certain amount of information at once, and after that, basically, it's sort of, you know, it's like a toaster that's overheated. You know, it just stops working. You know, it's like a compressor overheats; it closes down for a while. You know, until it chills out. So that's what they've discovered. So in the world that we live in, it's not so simple to remember. But there's another aspect to it. Once, many years ago, I went to see an old Mechosher that I know. And I had to discuss a very complex matter with him and try to figure out what was, you know, what I should do with it. And it was quite obvious that we were going to be there for a while. This was, you know, a complex matter. We were not going to finish for a while. So as I came to see him in his home. He was just finishing lunch. I said, hello. He finishes lunch, all of a sudden he runs to the sink, he washes his hands, whatever, he sits down and he benches. So I asked him, I was curious, why was in such a big rush to bench? I mean, you know, no one's going anywhere, so what was the pshat? So he looked at me, and he says, it's very poshut. He says, I just finished eating, I'm chuyuv to do a mitzvah, to bench. So if you're chayav do a mitzvah, you're supposed to do a mitzvah. You're just makdim on the mitzvah. So it's a shayav. It's poshut. Right? Yeah. So that's another reason we should bench. I said, you know, zerizus. I have a mitzvah to do. Now, let me explain something about zerizus to you. Zerizus is a very important notion. But we need to understand something. You know, in brisk, they would say the following. In every halacha, you have to understand first what's the nature of the halacha that you're dealing with. Then you could begin to unravel its details. Now, if you ask us, what is the nature of zerizus? I would say, well, zerizus is a very admirable quality. That one displays enthusiasm and alacrity in the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom. And it's a very good statement, but it doesn't go nearly far enough. And I'll show you one. Because from that standpoint, that it shows enthusiasm and alacrity in the service of the Rabbeinu Shalom, it's a good lifnei meshuras hadin. So, it's the cherry on top of the ice cream sundae. But when we're eyeing in the Rishonim, we find out something else. The Gemara of Gimel Amud Aleph. In Masechta Megillah says the following: Koyanin mivatlin avaydosan uvoin lishmoyem mikra Megillah. The Koyanim used to leave the Migdash, according to the ritual's interpretation, uvoin, and they went to a larger shuls that had more people in them than the Koyanim could muster in the Beis Hamikdash. So they left the Beis Hamikdash and they went to a mega shul. And for Bereivam Hadras Melech, and they listened to the Megillah and a Megashul. After they listened to the Megillah, then they went back to the Avodah. So, the Avodah did not take place in the normal time on Purim. It took place later on Purim than it did throughout the year, because they had to go normally they had their minion on site, apparently. And, you know, they got down to business when they had to. But on Purim, they traveled to the mega shul in Yerushalayim to hear Barovam Hadras Melech.
Ramban Shul.
What?
Ramban Shul.
Yeah. The great synagogue. Not a churva this year. So, Tosis asked the kasha. Says, what do they mean, Mevatlin Avodosa? They came back and they did the Avodah. Not that they spent the whole day in shul. They came back and they did the Avodah. So what's Shaykh for the Gemara to say Mevatlin? So Tosis says, well, they didn't exactly do it with reason Magdim and the Mitzvahs because they were doing something else and they did it later than usual. That's what Tosis says. So the Shagas Ar, you wrote a Sefer on Masechta Megillah called Turei Evan. Turei Evan, he writes the following. He says, I don't understand Tosfos. Gemara said Mevatlan. There's no bitle. He did the mitzvah. What should I have to say? Taught him Mevatlan Avodos. No more Mevatlan anything. So he points to a Piskei Tosfos in Masechta Erechin, which states that we're not dealing with the Talmud Shel Shachar. It's a different issue. We're dealing with the Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim. For whatever reason, the Kohanim were preoccupied this Purim, and it's now late in the afternoon, very late. It's moving in on Shkia, and they haven't yet read the Megillah. So now they have a choice. He says, either they're going to be makriv the Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim, or they're going to read the Megillah, but they can't work both. So which one should they do? So he says, if it comes down to that situation that you can't do both, then you listen to the Megillah, the Piskei Tosfos says, and you mevatel, and you mevatel the Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim. Which goes with the whole cheshbon that Persume Nisa is a deraisa dekedin in effect. And therefore it has the koyach to be doicha, a deraisa dekedin of Talmud Shel Ben Arbayim. That's the Turei evidence pshat. It's neither the way we pasken halacha lemaisa, certainly not, but so what's pshat in Tosfos? So I said from the Turei Evan led me in the direction. What the Turei Evan taught me is, from what I saw in Tosfos after the Turei Evan, is that Tosfos holds that if you don't do it with Jesus, that's a bitl hamitzvah. The same way that we understand there's a difference between a lachatchila and a b'di'evet. And if I did it b'di'evet, the mitzvah is like I did it by the seat of my pants, you know. The jacket has three stains in it. It's finished. Oh, but what can you do? That's what I had to do today. But it's not the way to do things. Something's missing. If I did a mitzvah without Zrizus, is a chopped off part of the mitzvah. It's not the same mitzvah. It was a bitl. It's something that's not coming back. It's not just a Hebrew mitzvah. It's the essence of how a mitzvah has to be done. If I didn't do it that way, I'm in some realm of the Yevich Asad Chak. So I shared this thought with Rav Gavriel Ginsburg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. He was the Menahel, he was a Telzer Talmud, he was the Menahel in Chofetz Chaim's high school for a number of years, and then he went on, he became a Rosh Yeshiva in Toronto, and he was Nifter a few years back. Very tired yid. So I shared this thought with him, so he told me, I think from Rav Elyameya Loch, but I'm not sure which of the Telzer Rosh Yeshivas, I think from Rav Elyameya, but he said, the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva was a Tzal, said the same he said. He said it based on a medrash. The medrash states that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam near the end of Chumash Bamidbar comes and he tells Moshe Rabbeinu in the beginning of Parshas Balak that Tzororis and Midyanim v'yikisem oisam, and it says wage war against them. It says v'achar teyosef olamecha, then you're going to die. It's the last page in your life is to prosecute the war against Midyan. So Moshe Rabbeinu went, and Chazal HaMeshabeyachem, that he did it with Zrizus. Yeshua was faced with a similar issue at the end of his life, and he didn't push so fast to finish the war. Because he wasn't ready to leave. Chazal tell us. But Moshe Rabbeinu went about it with Zrizus. He didn't push it off. gathered, they did them together, and he went to war. So the Talmud of Rosh Yeshiva said, from his standpoint, what gave Moshe Rabbeinu the right to do it now? And the reasons is not a requirement, then how did he have a right to do it? He should have pushed it off. So he said it must be, that was the Talmud of Rosh Yeshiva's conclusion, that it's Zrizas is a mandatory part of the mitzvah. And therefore, when the Rishon told him to do it, of necessity, he understood he has to do it with Zrizas. That's part of the tzivah. That's the way he wanted to learn. And I think the source from places is a stronger source than his source. But the Yisayit was Baruch Hashem, that I came to the same Yisayit as the Talzer Hashem. So when we talk about, so that's a second standpoint. When we come to, we're up to Brichas HaMozen, it's time to bench, or time to recite a Baruch HaChreina. We should do it with reasons. Shouldn't put it off. Forget, I'll remember, I'll have 17 reminders. I'll make sure, you know, I'll tell my secretary to remind me in an hour, you know, that I have to pray. You know, I'll have the BlackBerry ring to remind me. You know, all types of, we have alarms and alarms and alarms, 40 alarms today. You know, that's not, you know, built into every device that we have, in the cell phone, and the BlackBerry, wherever you want, there are alarms. But it's still not going to get us to do a mitzvah b'zrizus. So this is the second aspect of why, not only is that we shouldn't forget, which is a big enough reason, but that we should do a mitzvah b'zrizus. It's a notion that we don't fully integrate into the day-to-day mitzvahs that we do. The notion of b'zrizus. That's what I learned from this Adam Choshev on that day. The everyday mitzvahs that we do, you know, Birchas HaMozen and Avroch HaChron, it's also Zrizus. Time came to do the mitzvah. It's finished even. It's time to recite the Broch. So.
You may start at the wrong Broch. You were supposed to sit bench. Instead, you started an hour and a half vice versa.
Yeah, this is a whole big problem what to do. The way we paskin, as long as you didn't finish the brocha, you could go back and start. But it's a complicated matter. I don't, you know, we should talk about it more at length. This has to do with a very complex machlokes of tesis in the Rif. But I believe that as long as you didn't finish the brocha, you can still go back and put in the right words and keep on going. Rabbi Yisai, it's been a pleasant season. We'll take hiatus now until Elul Be'ezus Hashem.
Thank you.
Cold.